You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming to us from somewhere up into Ika Amawi. I'm not too sure about where you're coming from. Where are you based at?
Tauranga Moana.
Tauranga Moana. Fantastic. We have Billie Jean on the line coming to us from Tauranga Moana. How's your morning going? I hear you're doing all good?
Yes, I'm doing great, thank you. It's still warm up these ways and still in the summery vibes. It kind of never sort of stops here. I sometimes imagine ugly days, but they never come.
Just like somewhere in the equator where it never quite leaves summer, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of Miami over here.
Nice. I've never heard someone compare Tauranga to Miami, so that's refreshing. That's very refreshing.
Probably not quite accurate, but, you know, sometimes it does feel like it.
Yeah, less cocaine, I imagine. You've released a new track called Hine Koko, which we're going to talk about in a second. But I want to talk about your sound very briefly, because it's been described as swamp trap, fairy hop, soul folk, and indie horror, which are all awesome. Would you say that this is kind of in a similar vein to how Cormie describes themselves as swamp witchy?
Yeah. I would say similar. I think it's trying to grasp, I mean, because genre is so narrow, trying to describe the sound inside of a genre is quite difficult. And I think the reason why I describe it with like all of those things is because it just has elements of R&B and hip hop beats.
Yeah.
Definitely indie, spooky, folky stuff in there as well. So
Totally. I mean, it's an oboe. Is that in the background, like the start of it? Is it an oboe? Bassoon?
In Hine Koko.
Yeah.
Is that the bass clarinet?
Bass clarinet. Okay, right. It sounds like one of those things. That's terrifying, man.
Yeah.
It's very like Brothers Grimm type shit.
That's what I'm going for.
And you're doing a very good job of it. The track was written post a reo Māori wānanga at a song hub with Matanga Reo, which is a language expert, Te Homi Hiata Mason. And I want to know, what do you learn from Te Homi Hiata Mason? And how did it fuel your vision for Hine Koko?
So what was your question? What did I learn from her?
Yeah. What was the key takeaway, and how did that inform the track?
I think it was crucial to the track. I had the idea already, that's what I wanted to write about, but she had I had it described to me the other day that, and if you're describing in a few words, Te Reo Ingarangi, English can describe a star, but Te Reo Māori can describe the whole universe in as many words. So she's definitely done that in her. There's layers and layers of metaphor in how she has composed the waiata. Even though, you know, I was right there and we're talking about it, my reo was definitely not up to that level. And the way that she, I don't know, the poetic license she uses. And she kept asking me the same question over and over again, you know, what does this mean for you? Until she got the answer that she was looking for, or the answer that she felt was truthful, actually, for me. So, yeah, I think that wānanga in itself was crucial, and I think about it a lot. Yeah, it was a tāua.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I'm glad that you got that experience. I agree that Te Reo is much more poetic language than English. I mean, there's like just in the you know, like whenua being, I guess, you know, the land, but it's also the placenta, because you know, that's where people come from.
Yeah, it's all very metaphorical, eh? And there's just, I mean, sometimes I think I know a thing, and then it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. So yeah, it's a very connected, I suppose, and sophisticated language. So yeah, I'll spend the rest of my life learning it.
And it's built for a context as well. Like, it wouldn't work in any other country because it's developed here. I mean, English is very transportable, but it's a very unique language. It's beautiful.
Yes, you're right. And that's where we all connect to it, is because it's connected to this geography, eh? And to this style, and it's and all of the metaphors come out of this whenua. So yeah, you're right. it is very unique to hear.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of imagery of the ruru, or mōpok, in the video, and you've touched on visits from a ruru being an influence for the song. I saw in a press release, and I want to know, what did those visits mean to you? What do they symbolise?
It is in my hapū do have the ruru as a kaitiaki. Mm. Not that I'm always looking out for that, but when I came up to Tauranga Moana, I'd been living in Christchurch for a while, and I decided that I wanted to go on my real journey. I had a house truck, and I just gapped it to Tauranga in this house truck because I knew that it might be hard to find somewhere to live. Mm-hmm. My two daughters who had left home came and stayed with me, mm-hmm. and we were staying in freedom camping places for a while under beautiful pohutukawa trees, but on the edge of the city. And so, yeah, I was getting visits from Tururu. I would hear her, and then I would be like, does anyone else hear Tururu? No.
Really?
And it just yeah, that no one would hear it. Must have been just me up in the night or something listening. Okay. And then it kept happening, and I was like, oh, this feels like a tohu. This feels like a sign, not just your average bird singing. It feels like a sign. And so then when we moved in further into suburbia, when we actually got a house, I kept having the same visitation. Well, I could hear her constantly, and I was like, I've never heard a ruru in suburbia. Mm. Apparently it's not that unusual, but I had never heard one. Mm. And so I guess I just knew that this was something different happening. And I also knew that it was I knew really what the tohu was, which was that I was on my right path. It was affirmation. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know then that one of my daughters was hapū, so she'd become pregnant. She hadn't told me yet, but that turned out to be I couldn't have planned it better to have arrived like as she became hapū, and then to go through that journey with her, as well as learning my reo and all of the hapori or the community that I've been connected to up here. Yeah, I definitely am like on my right path. So mm-hmm. yeah, that was also part of the wānanga that me and Te Haumihiata had.
I mean, I imagine the move, no matter how confident you are and where you're going, it's always an uncertain time, and it always challenges your beliefs in yourself and about a lot of things. And so I imagine that it was quite reassuring to have the ruru kind of reassuring you and being like, you know, you're on the right path.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I have a friend who was born on a Friday the 13th, and there was lightning striking when his mother was giving birth, and there was also a ruru making noises nearby, so it was quite a spooky night for them.
Mm-hmm. It's a spooky sound. It's a spooky sound. But yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, hia moana te ngākau, you know, is that I'm excited, my heart is excited to hear the ruru. So even though I've leaned into all of the spooky sounds and spooky visual, there's actually comfort in there for me. Totally. Yeah, I'm not talking about anything actually yucky at all.
I want to talk about kind of the song and the sound. I mean, it alternates between being this really luscious instrumental with the bass clarinet, as I've discovered, what sounds like a guitar, a bit of piano, and flute, and then it kind of alternates completely and swaps over to this absolute trap banger. You know, did it take a while for you to kind of iron out that sound to make sure all the parts fit correctly?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Absolutely it did. I wrestled with it for ages to make it work. Because it was written initially just with guitar.
Yeah.
And so guitar and vocals, it sounded fine. And then when I wanted to add other things, it was like, man, this sounds like two different styles in the one song. Mm. And I didn't want them to sound disjointed either. So yeah, man, me and Chris Wethy wrestled for a long time with it, joyfully. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely knew its own, it sort of took me on its own journey, that song. It was difficult, and we tried lots of different things. And at one point, I was like, right, I just need to give all this up and take it back to acoustic because I can't figure it out. But yeah, we eventually got there, I feel like, anyway. And so, yeah.
Because the bass clarinet kind of functions as, I guess, the foundation of the song. When did you stumble upon that?
So in the studio that we are in, which is in Ōtautahi, there's all these little rooms that people use, and down the hallway is where Jimmy Rainey practices, and he is I think maybe his main instrument is saxophone, actually. But he is pretty good on the old wind instruments, and I wasn't there, but he came down the hallway when Chris was working, mixing some things, and they tried it out, and then he showed me when I came in, and I was like, oh, my God, yeah, that's it.
That's the moment, yeah. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
I love there's a cool spirit of collaboration on here. I mean, you've got Alana Goldsmith doing some backing vocals. Asia is also helping out here, correct?
Yeah, she wrote the initial chords that we started with.
Right.
That was just a jam at that Reo Māori Song Hubs. Mm. This is all kind of at lunchtime, very casual. You know, it's just like, I've got this kupu now, I've got all these words, and now I just need like a tune. Can you start me off with something? So I got her to play chords that she liked,
mm-hmm.
And then I went away and wrote what my melody response was. So yeah, that's where Asia comes in. Mm-hmm. And Alana was also at the Reo Māori Song Hubs. We were in a group, and so was Tame. And so the initial recording, the first demo was, we were all singing on it because I wanted everyone in the room to, even the Mātanga Reo on a black sung on it initially.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted everyone a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I heard both of those two sing, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, particularly for me, Tame, when he is kind of almost like a duo in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that for me, it's like, gives me Pavarotti vibes. It's great.
Is that like spirit of collaboration, something you strive for in your music making?
I wouldn't say strive for, but I definitely welcome it and love it. I love it when there's all of these creatives that put in their own spin on the feel,
mm-hmm.
and just the creative journey. So mm-hmm. yeah, I do absolutely love it. It's not necessarily something I strive for, though. I definitely believe in it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I want to touch on the end of the video, because there's three really important facts you mentioned, and that's that 95% of Māori land is stolen, and that 80% of the lands have been deforested, and that 90% of the swamps have been drained. Now, I appreciate all the facts, but the swamp fact really stuck out to me, because I feel like there's a conception, especially among the kind of Pākehā sphere here, that like a... you know, swamps are kind of a wasteland. They don't really provide anything. And so I think that's really awesome that you've highlighted that, not specifically in that fact, but also your whole ethos of being very, kind of like a swamp ambassador. You know, I'm really appreciative of that, because I feel like sometimes people don't really appreciate what swamps provide for, you know?
Yeah, huge ecosystems, eh? And mm-hmm. yeah, I love me a good swamp. And they're kind of areas you can't go into.
Yeah.
Unless you want to get dirty.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to... You can't just dum-de-do through a swamp. It's and I think more than anything, it's to remind us to just have aroha for our whenua and look after it, and realise that we're not the most important species, that we actually live at. We're a part of. We are the whenua.
Mm,
so
mm-hmm.
yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's also probably why Komi has put Swamp Trap, where it's kind of to highlight, really.
Yeah.
Christchurch is very much a swamp. Yeah, yeah. It was.
Same with a lot of parts of Otipoti Dunedin, and the same with lots of parts of my hometown, Invercargill. Big swampy areas. Massive swamps.
Yeah. I love Otipoti, by the way. I love the vibe of it. It suits Hina Coco very well.
It's very gothic. It's very dark. And
I love it. Quite creative too. Yeah.
Now, it's been basically a year since your EP Filter come out. Like, not quite to the day, but close enough. What's on the horizon for 2025? You've got a project dropping this year?
I don't know about dropping yet. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have all these grand plans, and these processes take a lot of time, right from the writing of the song to the final mastering. There's a lot of people involved and lots of wheels to turn, but I am writing, and I have heaps of things to write about, and I definitely hope to put out, I think my vision so far at this moment, anything can change with new information in my brain, but
mm-hmm.
I would like to put out a series of EPs, to be honest, almost like a collection of short stories rather than the big album as a novel. Like, I kind of would like to, I think it helps my release anxiety and things like that to release in small bites. And that was also part of my, I guess my decision a while ago was to, because I used to get really freaked out about putting stuff out. It feels exposed.
Yeah.
And so to kind of nip that on the head and face it kind of head on, I was like, I'm just going to start releasing and just not worry about it, because it's a moment in time.
Yeah.
That you're capturing in a song.
Yeah.
And then you move on to another moment in time and another one. Yeah. So there's sometimes a lot of pressure for the song to be this fantastical thing. But yeah, I now just like honor those moments and carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Did I answer your question?
Then that does. And that moment in time as well on this thing, I mean, it's capturing all the way back from 2023, when you had that incredible Wananger. So it's a huge affair.
Yeah.
And very appreciative that you put it out, because it's a fantastic song. And it's great. You said that you love Dunedin. Will you be coming down to play anytime soon?
Good question. I can't say for sure, but I would love to.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to. So perhaps, actually, no doubt, in the future sometime I will.
Cool. It'd be awesome to see you here
in
one of the Southern Swamps. But yeah, I want to thank you for your time and coming on the program today, Billie Jean. It's been lovely chatting with you.
It's been nice chatting with you too. Thank you for having me.
Have you got any final words for our dear listeners?
Any final words? sometimes you just have to fight for your right to party.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I respect that and love that. Awesome. Thank you for coming on the program, and great luck with your tunes, and I hope you enjoy that Wananga this week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ka kite. All right, folks, that was Billie Jean. We're chatting about their new track, Hine Koko, which we're going to play very shortly. Around 10:45, we will announce the winner of the Marlon Williams giveaway. Reminder, if you'd like to enter, text into 0212 Radio 1 with your highlight of the week, and you will be in the draw to win. Here's Billie Jean with Hine Koko. Ka kite.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.